Good afternoon. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning, or this afternoon. I appreciate that song that Jaron led, and certainly the gate that stands ajar is a compelling picture that we all experience in who have started out in walking in the Christian life. Turn with me to Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's read verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's go up to verse 21. Continuous thought here to those two verses. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we continue in sin that grace may abound? The word continue means to remain in addition to continue long, to abide in, tarry in, stay in. Can we remain in sin? Can we remain in habitual sin that grace may abound? Can we continue Can we climb up over the fence of better knowledge and sin? That's the question, dear ones. I was once in a ministry with a man. He was a good preacher. And he called me one Saturday evening and he said, Brother Joe, can you come over? And so I said, well, sure, I'll come over. He said, we need a talk. I talked to him earlier that morning and we had talked about going to the prison to preach that night. And he said he didn't know if he could. And so we made arrangements for one of the other ministry to go. But that night he called me up. And he said, can you come over? And so I said, sure, I'll come over. So I walked into his kitchen there, and he was sitting across the kitchen table. And he pushed out a letter for me to read. And I read that letter, and he said, I've had a... Well, the words were, I have had an ethical failure. And I said, well, what does this mean? An ethical failure. Ethical failure could be anything from forgetting to say I'm sorry to the worst of sins. He didn't say I'd sinned. I have sinned. And I said, what does this mean, your ethical failure? What does this mean? And he said, well, I made some mistakes in my life. And I said, well, what? We all do that. We all do that. And then his wife chimed in and said, this is more than an ethical failure. And so I kept praying, and finally I said, what does this mean? Do you go to nightclubs? I just asking that. I said, what is happening? And no, I don't do that. No, I never do that. And so I said, well, what do you mean? I'm not sure if I'm getting quite exact words, but that's what I pressed him for, is to tell me the truth. And then finally he said, I've had a failure with another woman that is not my wife. And I said, well, like how bad was it, and you know, and all that. And we began to talk about that, and came out that he was involved in adultery. And now you understand, this wasn't a man that was off the street. This was the man that sat on the preacher's bench with me on Sunday morning. And I listened to him preach. And so it's a long story. It's just that story I've often said, and I don't talk about it a lot, but I thought it fit in here today. That kind of a story belongs out in California somewhere where you don't know the people. Well, he was one that sat right here with me. And, you know, I had great respect for him. I appreciated his preaching. I appreciated him as a friend. We'd travel together a lot, and he was a great storyteller, wonderful storyteller. He could tell stories, and you know, I would drive and he would travel, and he could tell a story that was 300 miles long. You know, we'd travel. He could do it. But as it ended up, this man had a mixed up view of God's grace. He felt that he could sin on Thursday night and confess it to God and preach on Sunday morning. He felt that was doing justice to the grace of God. And but the question remains from Apostle Paul in Romans 6, as we view the grace of God, can we continue in sin? As we believe, and I very strongly appreciate, I love to preach about the grace of God. I love what the grace of God has done in my life. Amazing things. I appreciate knowing that God has grace, and that, you know, for a while in my life, I thought we were like a ping pong ball. We were on one side and then on the other. I was in God's side once, and then I'd sin and I'd be on the other side and I'd be out of favor with him. Oh, back and forth and back and forth like ping pong balls go. And I thought that was kind of the way my Christian life was. I didn't want to. Yeah, I was careful. And I was often think about, you know, what, after I sin, where would I be if Christ came back again? And that's a good thing for us to think about. But today, The Apostle Paul says this, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then what does he say? Everybody together. God forbid. God forbid. Me, more than anybody else, appreciates Psalm 103, where it says, "The Lord is merciful and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." That's for you, and that's for me. But then it says, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." Don't bet on God's anger. That's what he's saying. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Aren't we so happy that God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities? That is a praise the Lord moment when we realize that. That God has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. And then it goes on and says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust." Long time ago, when I had young boys, we have a farm there, and it's setting kind of on the side of a hill, and the boys got their bikes in. They were riding down the hill, and we had a fairly new pickup at that time, and they just ran their bike right into the side of that new Chevy pickup. And I, you know, at first it made me provoked. Like, what in the world did you do that? Well, he said, I didn't try. And that changed my attitude immediately. And I thought of this verse here. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." What happened in that case was the pickup was banged up. And I was kind of upset about it. Well, when I understood that he knoweth, when I understood that as a father pitieth them that fear him. Listen today. God understands whether you sin, whether you sin intentionally, or you sin because you've made a mistake. And that is the difference. Where God our Father comes in with his grace. And of course, that's just a simple illustration. Is it intentional? We cannot, dear ones, presume on the grace of God. And I would like you to turn with me to Hebrews 10, and let's read verse 29. No clearer explanation of God's grace in the end of his grace than this verse, as far as I'm concerned. Hebrews 10:29. "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." God gives us grace, but there is an end to his grace. "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, herewith he was sanctified an holy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We cannot go on in sin because we get to the end of God's grace. And it's like, well, the illustration is given here of trodden underfoot the Son of God, the grace of God. You know how it is, young men. You all remember this, old, young, alike. When you take your wife or your girlfriend a bouquet of flowers, and I used to do that. I don't do it much anymore. I should, but every once in a while. But you give them this vase of nice flowers, and you like to stand back and say, oh, how do you like that? How do you like that? And you kind of bask in the glory. Oh, they're beautiful, and they smell so good, and I'm going to put this up on my dresser, and and all this. It's just wonderful. I thank you so much. But now, what would happen if your girlfriend would take that bouquet of flowers and pour them out on the driveway and stomp all over them? How would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? That's what this is. You pour God's grace out on the driveway and you stomp all over it. How do you think God feels? You have done despite under the Spirit of grace. When we are intentional about sin and worldliness, we are doing despite unto the throne, unto the Spirit of grace. God has an end to his Spirit of grace, to his grace. And so, therefore, we cannot continue in sin. And I have some reasons here, direct reasons why we cannot continue in sin. I want to talk about them quickly. Number one, if we sin, we are a fool and will not stand in thy sight. According to Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. And when we sin, we are a fool. How many of you have sinned without knowing better? You say, well, yeah, I just couldn't help myself. Listen, is that true? Is that true, that you can't help yourself? Listen, every time you sin, there's a period there when you contemplate that sin, and you say, yes, I am going to sin, or no, I am not. You can't. We climb up over the fence of better knowledge. When we sin, we make great effort to extinguish our conscience and mind, and we climb up over that fence anyways, and we jump into sin. Can we continue in sin? You young fellows who are having a problem with, and I hope there's no one here, but I know what this is all about. We're having a problem with pornography. You climb up over the fence of better knowledge and you jump over the other side every time you do that. You're a fool. The Bible says you're a fool. A fool is someone who knows better and does it anyways. Sin does have consequences. Number two, we cannot continue in sin because we will die spiritually. Turn with me over to the book of Romans, and the rest of the points are going to come from Romans today. Romans 6, 7, and 8. Turn with me over to Romans 8 and verse 13. Romans 8 and verse 13, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Something's wrong there. But nevertheless, if ye live after the flesh, you're going to die. I had, early in my Christian life, I had a severe problem with pornography. And, you know, I would try. I would say no. I'm never doing that again. Throw those magazines out the door. Throw them into a ditch. But sure enough, a couple days later, it was back into sin. And I talked to someone and they said to me, do you understand Romans 8:13? And so I said, well, let's look at it. And so they said, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. All of a sudden it was like, oh. I wanted to live. I wanted to live spiritually. But I saw in this verse that said, if ye live after the passions and lusts of the flesh, ye shall die. There was only one answer to continuing in sin, and that was spiritual death. Then it says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Spirit, the grace of God, to the mortify the deeds, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And I said, what does that mean? That if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Well, the first answer was this. Prayer at the time of temptation. You pray at this time, of right at the moment you're being tempted. Ask God for, cry, Abba, Father, and ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I was a young man. I didn't have a real good understanding of some of the scriptures, but I tell you what, when I was tempted, I would pray, Abba, Father. And you know, it wasn't immediate, but after a while, those Playboy magazines were not there anymore. Because I, through the Spirit, had mortified the deeds of the flesh. And that worked for me and young men and young sisters and old men and old ladies. I recommend that to you. This is a crucial role in defeating sin. You know, we have come to the place of counseling, and you know, and I'm not against counseling. It's probably a good thing. But I will say this, that if everybody would understand Romans 8:13 like they should, there would be a lot less need for counseling. That's just the way it is. If Shepherd's Fold can help somebody understand Romans 8:13 better than just reading it, more power to them. But Romans 8:13 is the key to victory. It's the key to victory. Because when we pray, Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may have help in time of need. Oh, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? Number three, if we continue in sin, we will never experience newness of life, resurrection power. We need to know that you are dead to everything in life but what Christ wants. To live in the resurrection, we must first be baptized into his death. You know, in the Christian life, it's a funny thing. We think that life precedes death in our lives. In the Christian life, it's the other way around. It's death precedes life. Death precedes life. Death. Death to the lust of the flesh. Death to my desires. And death to everything but what Christ wants. Life is found through death in the Christian life. And the only way to experience eternal life is to come to the realization of death in your Christian life. That's the only way. It's not just a creed. It's not just a ritual to say, but it's the hard facts of going to the grave with Jesus Christ and appropriating his death. We are buried with him in baptism unto death. Like as Christ was raised up from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If there's something that is reserved for you, Brendan, or for me, Joe, that is ungodly in our Christian life, don't expect us to have victory, resurrection power in our life. Don't. You must come to the death. Oh, it's so important. The Christian life is the only one that ends in eternal life. Romans 5:10 says that if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His life, God, Jesus' life, if he reconciled us to God by the death of his Son, much more we shall be saved by his life and his life at the Father's right hand. He sees Anthony is dead. He sees Joe is dead. And then he invests in us resurrection power. Hebrews 7:25 said, the interesting verse there. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He can save you to the uttermost. How far is that? How big is that? I don't know. But it's uttermost. He's able to save you to the uttermost. His life at the Father's right hand, he is able to save. So we cannot spurn the grace of God. The next one is, we cannot continue in sin because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Dear ones, this afternoon, if you have a carnal mind, if all you can think about is the things out there, the tractors out there, the businesses out there, the lusts out there, you have a carnal mind, and it's enmity against God. And it can't be subject to the law of God. If you continue to think on those things out there, not a chance. Not a chance. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you have a carnal mind, you will find the things like reading your Bible very hard. And I ask you sincerely this afternoon, can you read the Bible and enjoy it? Or is it just to pass, you know, what, 5 minutes before I go to bed? And then when the time's up, I'm done. That's the carnal mind. Church life is difficult. Church standards are hard to obey. The Bible is hard to obey. Shall we continue in sin? Of course not. The next one is, we cannot continue in sin because the carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of God. Romans 8:7 again. Sin makes us indifferent to the law of God. It makes Bible reading a chore and obedience to the scriptures much more of a chore. When the church makes practical applications, it's hard for us to be subject to that law of God. And by the way, the church is part of the grace of God. Whole subject in itself there. We cannot continue in sin because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. Romans 6:11 says, we are to reckon that we are dead indeed, indeed unto sin. We can reckon two ways, the pleasure of sin And if you reckon the pleasure of sin, it will defeat you. There is certain defeat for those of us who think about sin and think, well, that would be fun to go to that nightclub, or that would be fun to go to that rock concert. We cannot reckon the pleasure of sin. Sin will defeat you. I was made to think of David's story. You know, David, he looked over at Bathsheba. She was very beautiful to look upon. He shouldn't have looked back to know if she was beautiful or not when he saw something like that. She was very beautiful to look upon. He looked upon. He sent and inquired, and then took her, and she came in unto him. Unless you are able to conquer the lust, the mind, the reckoning of sin, you will not win the battle. Looking upon the repeated look, lingering look, will wreck your spiritual life. And I ask you quite simply, young brethren, young sisters, if you have an internet connection that's readily available, and you're watching bad stuff, whether it's comedy, whether it's podcasts, or whether it's pornography, be careful. That lust will take you away. Every man is tempted when he is drawn of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There it is. The Bible's abundantly clear. We cannot continue in sin because we will return to condemnation and the bondage of sin. There is therefore, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. The question is, are you free? Are you in bondage? You know, in bondage, we can't get away from it. If we're in bondage, we can't get away. Our ankles are shackled. Our hands are in handcuffs. And the bars of the prison are in front of us. We can't get away. But it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me, what? Free from the law of sin and death. We're free from the law of sin and death, and we have an eternal life to look forward to. Final point of the afternoon is this. We cannot continue in sin, because when we continue on sin, we're on a trajectory toward the dominion of sin. And Romans 6:9 says that knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. That means Lord over him. We're in a trajectory toward the dominion of sin. And Timothy chips in right here in 2 Timothy 2, or Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 2. He says, flee! Flee youthful lusts! That means get out of there! And there's a lot I could say about that. But young couples, are you pure in your courtship? The Bible also says, flee fornication. Flee. Flee pornography. Get out of there. Run away. Today, I'm saying that our Christian lives, should have a trail of the carnage done to sin behind us. That this carnage is there behind us. Oh, I've defeated that habit. I've defeated this lust. I've defeated this desire. And that the trail of the carnage of sin is left behind us. And we are living in victory. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Our hands, our feet, our mouths must be involved in doing good. Listen, right here in your hands. Right here is a lot of the answer to being victorious. But God be thanked, Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that when ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered to you. That form of doctrine right here. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The result of the resurrected life is fruit unto holiness. And I like Romans 6. I just love Romans 6. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But it says that as sin hath reigned unto death, so, if you obey the doctrine of God, you have become the servants of righteousness. As you sit down there at the rock concert and raised your hand and hollered and supported that rock concert, that is the way you are when you get a hold of the resurrected life. You support the church. You love the Christian life. And just remember that every time I sin, you sin, there is a period, maybe it's just a few seconds, but where you climb the fence of better knowledge, it's there. And you either decide to come back and do what's right, or you jump over the fence and do your sin. And I want to leave you with this quote, and I've talked about it a number of times today. Is the Christian life is the only life that ends in eternal life. Let's bow our heads for prayer.